Nick DiGilio here on the Nick DiGilio Show, continuing on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio. Whenever you hear that song, you immediately start to do the head bobbing. There's no question about it. One of the legendary sketches in the history of sketches, many sketches, with the Butabi brothers. Chris Kattan was one of the Butabi brothers. The other was, of course, Will Ferrell. And I have to say, he's one of my favorite cast members ever on SNL. So many memorable characters. He was on for 8 years, and you've seen him in movies, you've seen him on TV, and he was also, you know, in The Middle and so much more. He trained in Los Angeles at the Groundlings Theater and spent 8 years on Saturday Night Live, and he's coming to town to Chicago to do some stuff at Zany's, and I'm unbelievably thrilled to have Chris Kattan on the show. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, man. That's so sweet of you. What kind words. Thanks very much, man.
I think you're hilarious, man. Absolutely. So you spent 8 years on SNL. Try to describe what it's like to work on that show, because it's just so insane from Monday morning all the way till Saturday.
It is insane. Well, no, it's not insane. It's just it's a grind. You know, it's an incredible institution. That was an amazing thing. You want me to go through the whole week? Is that what you said?
No. I mean, but I know that, like, you know, you guys barely sleep, and I just find it amazing. I've been a Saturday Night Live fan since in 1975, the first episode, and I just find it amazing that you guys have nothing on a Monday morning, and then you have a live show that's 90 minutes long on Saturday. I just find that process to be mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, that's like, my mom used to tell me, like, she always taught me how to create something out of nothing, you know, and I learned that at an early age, and, you know, when I got into the Groundlings, I met other people that were probably taught the same, you know, and you eventually surround yourself with those kind of people, and then you get on a show like SNL, and those are the kind of people that do that, you know?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of training and self-trust and self-confidence and just not overthinking things is a big thing. Keeping things fresh and things that make you, you know, what makes you laugh, you know, yourself, what makes other people laugh, your friends, trying not to think too hard about what the world might think is funny, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the key things too, you know, is trying to, what keeps the show original, you know, every week to week is people, keeping them, what makes themselves laugh, you know.
Yeah.
And that way, when some, you know, cast member, you know, like Amy Bryant or Kate McKinnon or any of these people, you know, so talented, you know, some great cast members on the show now, that keeps them, you know, fresh and so original. And what you want to see every week is to see what they're going to come up with next, you know, and that's because they trust their instincts and trust themselves and keep themselves original, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it, you know, and then somehow Lauren has this magnifique way of putting everyone together and having them combine and gel perfectly, you know, from week after week. So there's so much involvement, and that's just the cast. And then there's, you know, the set. I mean, there's just so many things, and it's so finely tuned, and it's been that way for so long. And that's why there's so many people there that have been there for so long, you know, working there, behind the scenes, you know, because it's just so perfectly tuned, you know.
Yeah.
So there's nothing like it, you know.
Yeah. What did you do for your audition for SNL?
I did. Well, I was at the Groundlings, so my dream was always to be on Saturday Night Live before I got into the Groundlings, and like many others, I'm sure. And so I wanted to be on the Groundlings. I created a couple of characters. One of them was Mr. Peepers, the monkey, or actually Missing Link, rather.
Right.
And which was created by, at the Groundlings, where I jumped on this guy named Roy Jenkins, and Will Ferrell was the talk show host. It was like a kind of a Johnny Carson, you know, Jay Leno setup kind of thing.
Yeah.
At the time. And I swung upside down on this guy, Roy Jenkins, who's like 6'7". I swung upside down with my legs wrapped around his neck, and it was like, wow, this is crazy. So, you know, and then I ate an apple and whatever. It was,
yeah.
So anyway, so I did that character for my audition, but, you know, you're alone on stage.
Right.
I did Mr. Peeper, so I had a stool. I sat on the stool, and I hid behind a chalkboard, because that's where chalkboard for another character. And I walked out, and I brought a boombox out that played the narration of introducing Mr. Peepers. And it was like, this is Mr. Peepers. He's 4.5 years old. He's from the Amazon rainforest.
Right.
And I would stand on the stool and then, you know, eat an apple, and I, you know, balance on one foot and, you know, do this kind of acrobatic thing, which is not really that acrobatic, but, you know, as much as I could do. And then chewed the apple and went, bah, bah.
Right.
Very smart humor. Very smart humor. And then, you know, and then I did, what else did I do? Oh, I did a character called Substitute Teacher, which was this character called Sewell Forrester, who was a gibberish guy.
Uh-huh.
He spoke double talk. He was, and this was a character, and that's why I had the chalkboard on stage. And you can actually watch this. There's like a best of Chris Kattan they made for me, which was very nice.
Yeah.
And I there's not the auditions on there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the substitute teacher, and he spoke gibberish, and he was like, "Good afternoon, I'm Sue Marner. I'm gonna be your substitute teacher." And some of you, me in photography, whatever. But I'll see the red guys at you. So. And
that's similar to the coach that you played.
Yeah, it's the same character.
Yeah, it's the same.
He came back. He became reoccurring,
right?
You know, and it was reoccurring. So he came back as an air traffic controller,
right?
He came back as a sport. Exactly. And then he came back as a coach. He came back as a film director. You know, they probably, you know, they just got, you know, just continued, whatever situation he could be where authority has to, you know, be controlling.
It was such a funny character. By the way, you mentioned Mr. Peepers. I got to say, the one that you did with The Rock was just one of the funniest things. You guys were so hilarious together. Like, it was just so funny to see The Rock doing doing that character with you. That had to be one of the more memorable Mr. Peepers for you, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, that was the more popular one. There was a few other ones. There's one with Charlize Theron that was pretty great.
Yeah.
Where he was, like, really got involved into it.
Yeah.
And, The Rock one, I think, is funny. Everybody seems to love that one the most.
Yeah. Well, you have so many great characters. I mean, Mango, just such a legendary character and so funny. I particularly like, I like the one with, I mean, they're all great, but I think the one with Jennifer Lopez might be my favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Mango. Yeah, everyone likes that one, too.
Yeah.
I got to swat her butt, which is very exciting.
Yes. I do want to mention some of the movie work that you've done. I think you're so hilarious in Undercover Brother. You're so funny in that movie, and it's such a great character, and it must have been fun to kind of play the villain.
Yes, it was. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was great. It was fun to do. I like playing a villain. As long as I'm a villain that's, you know, comedic.
Yeah.
You know, physical. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I liked that very much. And that was fun to work with, you know, Eddie Griffin and Dave Chappelle and those guys, you know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of fun to do that. But I like that movie a lot. It's very funny.
It's a very funny movie. By the way, it's Nick DiGilio show here on 720 WGN. Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live is with us. He'll be in town at Zany's. We continue right now with the show. I got to mention Cowbell. It's become, I mean, you can't, you know, if I'm talking to someone who was actually in that sketch, you have to mention it. It just has become so legendary. What was it like to be on stage when all of this stuff was unfolding? And just the surrealness of Christopher Walken in that sketch. What was it like to be on stage during that thing that's now become legendary?
You know, it was great. You know, they Will and Parnell, or I think Adam McKay, wrote it, and they originally submitted it with Alec Baldwin, and I believe they submitted it with someone else as well. But you know, it worked when we did it with Christopher Walken. you know, we didn't know. I don't think we had any idea. No one had any idea how huge it would become.
Yeah.
And all we know is that when we were doing it, how funny it was and how hilarious it was, you know. And I remember going back upstairs after we did the sketch, you know, and how everybody was like saying how freaking funny it was. And, you know, I remember Adam McKay, too, saying, like, a couple weeks later, before it really blew up, because it was still very funny, but it didn't blow up quite yet. Like, it became such a cult favorite, you know? McKay was saying how, like, God, every time I watch that cowboy sketch, it just makes me laugh so hard, you know? And then after, you know, it became kind of part of, like, the best of, or, like, was being... You know, they repeated the sketch, like Christopher Walken, Best Of, or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Every time it would go on, it was like, God, that cowbell sketch is so funny. Yeah. Why is it so funny? I don't get it. There's something, no one could quite figure out why it's so funny. Like, we all broke character.
Yeah.
That was funny. You know, Jimmy's laughing, that's funny. You know, and then, you know, like, you know, and Walken is hilarious in it. He never broke. He's so deadpan. He's perfect. Will is hilarious. You know, Parnell, everybody's so funny in it. And, you know, it was just so, there's something flawless about it in a way. And yet we broke. And part of the breaking was actually flawless, even though that was a mistake.
Yeah.
The mistake became something flawless.
Yeah.
And it just became its own thing. It just became this perfect, perfect sketch, everything about it.
Yeah, I've probably watched it 1,000 times. I laugh every single time. I love the fact that now when Christopher Walken walks down the street, this is an Academy Award winning director who's made hundreds of movies. Everybody just screams cowbell at him now. That's
probably I've done a couple stand up shows where they bring a cowbell for me to climb, even though I'm not the guy who held the cowbell.
Right, exactly.
They'll hand me the cowbell. Will already signed it, so they're trying to get everybody signed it.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Chris, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Chris Kattan is with us from SNL, and he's going to be in town at Zany's. Such a funny guy. We'll talk more with Chris. That's right here as the Nick DiGiulio Show continues on 720 WGN.
Guess what? I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
And now, every time I hear that song, all I hear is the cowbell. And I've heard that song since the 70s, and now all I concentrate on every time I hear that song is the cowbell. Nick DiGiulio Show continuing here on 720 WGN. One of the people that contributed to that sketch is Chris Kattan, who was on SNL for 8 seasons, did such a great job, created so many great characters, and now he's touring around doing stand-up. He's going to be at Zany's. Chris, it cracks me up every time.
Yeah, well, yes, it's a hilarious sketch, you know.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes up on television, I watch it. It still makes you laugh. Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about your stand-up. Tell me about that. How much fun is that? Do you like doing that? And is it different than doing? I mean, obviously, it's different than doing improv. It's different than doing SNL. When did you get into the stand-up?
It is. I got into stand-up about 8 years ago. You know, I really love it. It's. I wanted to get back into like doing stuff with the audience, you know, and just working with the audience, and it's nice to do stuff live, you know. And yeah. SNL was that, and then you go, yeah, I love doing stuff in front of the camera, of course, and films and stuff like that, you know. But you don't get the feedback immediately because you're quiet for every shot, and everybody's quiet. So there's something about that energy that is so rich and so great to get, and it really feeds you creatively too, you know.
Yeah.
And since I have this improv background, you know, I like to improvise a lot. Like I just did a show right now tonight, and there was a lot of improvising I did with the audience, you know, just talking with them. And then I went off on tangents and went off like 5-10 minutes just rattling off different things here and there, and
yeah,
you know, and the audience loves it and I love it, and they're like, you know, it's just so great. You can't do that anywhere else, really, you know. You can't improvise except like get the groundlings, or you can do stand up, you can do that, you know. I have a set. I do my jokes and I talk about Saturday Night Live. I talk about my characters and you know, Mango, and I tell stories about my life and, you know, dating and family, all that stuff, you know, that everyone talks about, my view and self deprecation and all that stuff, you know, and everyone loves that. But I do like to play around a lot, you know, and and that's what keeps it fresh, you know.
Yeah.
Now, that it feels like a different show every time.
When you're doing that, when you go off on a tangent, you know, and you're improvising, do you ever find stuff while you're improvising and going off on a tangent that you would actually put in your next set that you would include and become more material?
It does if it goes to a subject. Sometimes I don't, though, because it's just, it only works with that audience at that moment.
Right.
You know, because it's specifically tailored to that audience because, you know, that's what it just happened to be happening at that moment. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't work. Like if I talk about the Denver Broncos, and, you know, we joke about the Broncos. I can't bring the Broncos up in New York, obviously.
Right.
So, you know, right. They'll be like, why is this guy talking about the Broncos? It doesn't work here. So, but, you know, it's so it usually is just becomes tailored for that audience that night, specifically at that moment.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. So you enjoy doing it. Are you traveling all over the country doing the stand up, Chris?
Yes, I am. You know, I am. I'm looking forward to going to Chicago. Chicago's the best city ever, so.
Yeah.
Can't wait, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a big comedy city, obviously, because, you know, Second City is here and all that stuff, and so we've got
Of course.
And you're playing a great room, Zanies. Have you played Zanies before?
I have, yes. Oh, my God, it's the best. I love that club. It's fantastic.
It's such a great room. It really is, and it's going to be a fun night you, Chris. I do want to mention that, you know, during the holiday season now, you are part of a song that has become a tradition, at least here. I wish it was Christmas Today. I can't tell you just how simple it is and how hilarious it is. Where did that come from? What's the origin of I Wish It Was Christmas Today?
Well, that was Horatio's, obviously, his idea. It was his song, and he wrote it, and he was in an office that he shared with Jimmy Fallon, and I think it was one of those, like you were talking about, Saturday Night Live and the week's process of coming up with ideas. I think it was a late Tuesday night, which is writer's night.
Yeah.
We come up with sketches, and I would guess maybe 2, 3 a.m., I don't know, you know,
yeah.
Horatio was plucking away at his, I don't know if it's a guitar. It's not a guitar. It's like a ukulele.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, weird thing. Yeah.
Something between that. And he's plucking away and he just started doing some silly song and singing, I Wish It Were Christmas Today. And then Jimmy was like playing the keyboard. And then I came by and, or maybe, I don't know if Tracy came by first or I came by.
Yeah.
I think Tracy was like, I want to be part of this. And he just started dancing with it. And then Horatio said, somebody needs to, oh, I think Jimmy, it was like, Jimmy and Horatio were like, who's going to hold the keyboard? So they're like, let's get Catan to hold the keyboard. So I was donned the honor of holding the keyboard and Wish It Were Christmas Today.
Yeah.
Which is very nice. And so that was like, so I was given that honor of doing that, and I just decided to move my head back and forth.
Right.
And it's interesting because if you think about it, the simplicity of, you know, I don't know, I guess my characters or things I do sometimes is we're like my head, you know, Will and our head bop in Roxbury.
Sure.
It's a head bop, and that's like so catchy. And then there's this little movement I just do left to right in the Wish It Were Christmas Today, and everyone's like, oh, I love how you move your head. It's like, that's all I'm doing is moving ahead, and all I'm doing is bopping my head.
Yeah,
and it's so amazing. Like, I mean, it's kind of crazy how those kind of things work. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, really I'll tell you something, Chris. The physical comedy that you do is exceptional. I mean, physically, the stuff that you do is so great, and it's such a strong part of your persona. You do great physical comedy.
Well, that means a lot to me. Yeah, I wrote this book called Baby Don't Hurt Me, Jeff Myers wrote a foreword in it, and he said some of the nicest things I've ever heard about me and my being a physical comedian on SNL, and how is the best, well, I won't say it, it sounds for me to say what he wrote is silly, but he was very flattering. It was incredibly flattering, and, you know, you don't know that. I never thought that or think that, but until some people say that to me, and I hear that, and it's so nice to hear that, and that means so much to me when I hear that kind of compliment,
Well, it's great stuff.
Thank you.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. The Nick DiGilio Show continues, and Chris Kattan is with us. I have to mention one of the sketches that you did that just destroyed me every time was the Antonio Banderas thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, that is so funny. So where did that come from?
Well, you know, I don't know if it was because I was doing a silly accent, you know, that was kind of broken Spanish, you know, like, what is this here? I don't know. I think I was kind of poking fun at Antonio Banderas' accent.
Yeah.
And then I thought, there was this guy, Matt Piedmont, who's this really great writer, and we wrote it together, and I don't know where it came up that I'd interview women and talk about their, you know, their things and
yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. He was a bit of a ladies man.
Yeah.
Not the ladies man, but he is a, you know, and how everything's so sexy, too sexy. And how sexy he thought he was, like, too sexy, my friend, too sexy. I think it just became kind of like the romantic kind of debonair, like the romantico.
Yeah.
And then just say broken Spanish words that didn't make any sense. Like,
right.
You and I will make a baby. I don't remember what it
yeah.
was. Like,
but
I can't say because it's a little degrading, but
right.
Whatever.
The sketch was so funny. And also, I got to say, Fallon was hilarious with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was so funny, and he fed you so much. And it was just the two of you guys. Those sketches just kill me. I just love them.
Oh, yeah. He was fantastic with the too sexy, my friend. Yeah. No, it was great. It was just so great. Yeah, it was so much fun. The audience loved it. And, like, you know, that was just so much fun. Like, but they must. You know,
yeah, it was really, yeah, no, very, very funny stuff. I also, before we let you go, I also want to mention how much I loved the Zimmermans. You and Sherry O'Terry, funny
right.
every time. The Ben Affleck one in particular is the one I think that I cracked up the most, but you guys worked so well together, Sherry O'Terry and you, were so funny.
Oh, she's great to work with, and we had a lot of fun doing that. That was another, you know, that's one of the great things about being on SNL is when you have chemistry with someone else, like I did with Will or Poehler or, you know, Maya, and, you know, you come up with characters together, you know, I think, growing up when I watched SNL to see like Harry Shearer and Billy Crystal or,
yeah.
you know, like David Spade and Farley and see their chemistry, you know, it's so cool. And comedy teams to me were always such an important thing because there's such gold, you know, it's like some things don't even need to be written or jokes don't need to be even there sometimes. I mean, they're obviously necessary, but like you're holding it up by the chemistry. The chemistry is what's holding up a scene or with the magic, you know?
Yeah.
And that's so great about sketch comedy and comedy in general, you know, it's the chemistry that really works. And like, for example, like the Wish You Were Christmas Today, you know, it's the chemistry of what's going on with the four of us that really makes it work. You're like, why is it so funny? I don't know.
Right.
It's just, there's something about it. You know?
Well, listen, Chris, it's been such a thrill to talk to you. I've been a huge fan of yours forever, and congratulations on doing this and the stand up. And I know your show is sold out at Zany's, which is awesome. Your shows are sold out, and it was an honor to talk to you. I've been a big fan forever, man.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. And if anyone wants to follow me, I'm on Instagram, Chris Kattan Official.
Got it.
Gotta plug it.
Okay, absolutely, man. All right, thanks again, Chris.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, take care. Chris Kattan. Oh, that was a thrill. Okay, we are going to continue here. Jack Crosby from CBS Sports, who's a wrestling fanatic, is up to join us to talk about Raw, SmackDown, and, of course, do a Royal Rumble preview because the Royal Rumble is this weekend. The Nick DiGilio Show continues on WGN.